Last week, we were just kind of, I looked at a question that someone had asked, and this week we're going to kind of continue in our series of this kind of avoiding confusion and things. And we looked, the past few weeks, we've been kind of looking at, you know, how the existence of God and proving the existence of God and things like that. And so tonight, we're going to be looking kind of at another topic, and we'll spend a few weeks on this, and I think this is a really important topic. If I can get my iPad to work, come on. It worked before. Yeah. Well, let's try this again. It's kind of hard for me to describe some of these pictures that I have. all right, well, I don't know what's going on here. Can you pull up the first picture there, Paul? All right, so we're going to be talking about the reliability of the Word of God. And again, we looked at a couple weeks ago about this, the topic about the existence of God. And again, how the world is really trying to say that there is no God, right? And we can basically live our life without God. We don't really need God. And why did we find that that is really the issue? Why is the world trying to say that there is no God? Why does the world not want God? Jeff? Okay, very good. If we acknowledge that there is a God, then it also, we have to acknowledge that there is his authority, and therefore we are responsible to that, and we have to be accountable to that, all right? Any other reason? Why else would we want to deny God? So we can do it our way. We don't have to do it God's way. We can live our way, and of course we looked at how even, you know, there is an idea that we can be good without God, right? Now, again, if you think about that, that really, how can you be good without God? How do we know what good is if we don't know who God is, right? Because you just can't make up your own definition of what good is. So as we were looking at the existence of God, we're going to start going through this idea of the reliability of the Word of God, the reliability of the Bible here. And God has given us His Word so that we have His mind, so that we're able to live in a way that is being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That's why God gives us His Word. God wants us to know Him. God wants us to know what He expects. And so we have His Word. And that way we can obey it. The truth, though, is that the Word of God is under attack. Just as the existence of God is under attack, so the Word of God is under attack. And basically, the devil and the world will try to tell us that the Bible is not reliable, right? I just saw something that someone mentioned the other day, that there is now... And again, if you go back, you'll find so many of the attacks of the Bible deal with one specific book. Does anybody know which book that is? The book of Genesis. That's right. Many attacks are on the book of Genesis, whether it's attacking creation, whether it's attacking the flood, whether it's attacking Israel, the beginning of Israel, all of that. There are so many attacks on the book of Genesis, because if you can destroy Genesis, you've destroyed the foundation of the Bible. Because if God did not create the world in 7 days, then how can we know that the rest of the Bible is in fact reliable? If we can't depend on the first chapter, how do we know we can depend on 66 books that make up the Bible? And so there is an attack against the reliability of the Word of God. And as Christians, we have to understand that the reason that we we have to believe the Bible and to embrace the Bible is because the Bible is our final authority. The Bible has to be our final authority because everyone has an authority, right? Every person has an authority. Children have authority. Guess who that is? Parents, right? It's parents. If they go to school, that authority is teachers, right? Everybody has an authority. If you have a job and if you are not the owner of that company, you have an authority. Guess who the authority is? It's your boss. It's the owner, right? We all have an authority, okay? But if we get to the point where we say, well, I don't have an authority, then, again, just as we want to deny the existence of God, we can deny the reliability of the Bible. I don't have an authority, therefore, I get to do what I want to do, how I want to do it, when I want to do it, and it doesn't matter what it is, right? So when we deny the validity and the reliability of the Word of God, we are basically, in essence, saying, I now become my own God, right? And that's why there is an attack on the existence of God. That's why there is an attack on the reliability of the Word of God, because man wants to be their own God. They don't want to depend and they don't want to follow the Word of God. But go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice what he says in verse number 15. So Paul writing to Timothy, what does he say? And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So what is Paul commending that Timothy knows? What is he commending? He's commending something that Timothy knows. What does Timothy know? The scriptures, right? He says that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, right? And so there was a mother and a grandmother. Again, we're not really sure kind of what his father was. We know his father was Greek, but it's very likely that his father was not even a Christian. So here you have a Timothy being raised in a kind of, we would call a split home where the dad is an unbeliever, the mom is a believer, the grandmother is a believer. And yet in this home, the mother and grandmother had such a desire, they understood the importance of the Word of God, that as a child, as a young person, they began to teach Timothy the Word of God in the Scriptures, right? That's why it's so important for parents at a young age to begin teaching their children the Word of God. Don't wait till they're teenagers. If you've waited till they're teenagers, you waited too long. Right? Don't wait till they're old enough to make their own decision at 18, so now I'm gonna teach them. No, you've waited too long, right? He says that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then notice, he talks about these scriptures. He gives us the importance of these scriptures. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So he shows how vital it is that not just, again, a lot of times we get this idea, well, the Bible stories are for children. Well, again, we can teach them the stories of the Bible, the accounts of the Bible, and that's good, right? We can teach them about David and Goliath, and we can teach about Noah and those things. But every one of us as Christians ought to understand that our authority comes from the Word of God. And it's not just the Bible stories, but notice what he says. The scriptures that were taught to Timothy, he says, are profitable. And notice he specifically pulls out four areas: for reproof, for correction, for doctrine, and for instruction in righteousness. Right? These four areas, that the Word of God is so important in these areas. Why? Notice verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And again, the word perfect there is not meaning that we're without error, but it means mature. That the man of God, that the Christian would be mature in the faith. And the only way we can be mature in the faith is by knowing the Word of God. Right? Knowing what is right, knowing what is wrong. When we fall, how do we get right? How do we stay right? That's what he's saying. That's why the Word of God is so important. And of course, you know, we would say, we call it the Bible, but if you think about it, when we talk about the Bible really is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It's God's Word. And again, you can say, well, that, you know, people say that's a big claim, right? To be able to say that that's the Word of God. But how do we know that that is a true statement? How do we know that this book, the Bible that we have here, right? How do we know that this book is the Word of God? Because, look, let's face it. When you tell people that, oh, well, why do you say that? Why do you say that there's only one way to heaven? Well, because the Bible says so. Well, how do you know that's really the Word of God? I mean, you know, well, you know, you guys believe these different things where, you know, these other, you know, you're talking about Bulgaria, right? And you're saying 97 or 98% Orthodox. Well, how do you know that those people aren't just as spiritual as what you are? I mean, how do you know that their doctrine isn't the same as your doctrine? How do you know that their doctrine's not right? Well, I mean, you guys always go back to the Bible. How do you know that the Bible really is the Word of God? And you know what most people say? How do you know the Bible is the Word of God? Well, because I was told it was the Word of God. Do you know most Christians cannot prove that the Bible is the Word of God? Not just because you've been taught it, but can you prove that the Bible is the Word of God? Because if we can't prove that it's the Word of God, what basis do we have? What foundation do we have? You say, well, I'm just going to tell them that it is. Well, that's great, right? None of us like that. Prove it to me. How do you know it's the Word of God? Because if we can't prove it, what authority do we have to say it? So if somebody says, prove to me that the Bible is the Word of God, what would we say? How can we prove that the Bible is the Word of God? What would you say? Come on, give me some answers tonight, right? I mean, this is like everyday stuff right here, okay? Because there's going to be people that tell you, well, you say it's the Bible, prove it to me. Because the Mormons say that their book is from God. And the Jehovah's Witnesses say their book is from God. And, you know, all these other religions say their book is from God, but yet you say it's not. You say the Bible is, so prove it. How can we prove the Bible is the Word of God? Miss Amy? Okay. Miss Amy is saying that history, secular history, backs up the Word of God. Right? Can you be specific? And the reason I'm saying can you be specific is because if you just tell someone, well, history backs it up. Well, again, prove it. Okay, all right. Jackie? Okay, so there's no contradiction in it. It's without error, right? There's no errors in it, even though it's different authors. Corey? The circumference of the earth.
Mm-hmm. All those things were not known for hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about how the, one of them says how it's laid out like that. But there's a lot of things in the Bible that weren't even thought about.
Right.
Well, after
Yeah, there are some scientific things that even prove, you know, the Word of God, right? Miss Rachel? It's been preserved? Meaning? Okay, so there's the preservation of it. Again, talking about something that was written over a 1,600-year period of time, right? And now it's been complete for almost 2,000 years. There's the preservation of it. Okay, Rob? Okay, archaeological finds and digs and things like this help to verify it. Mm-hmm. Cheryl? Were you Googling in church? Oh. Oh, there you go. Okay. Okay, cool. All right. Yeah. Where is the Rosetta Stone? In Cairo, that's cool. Right? Somebody else? Yeah, Miss Vicky.
What about the Holy Spirit being born again? I mean, to me, that's when I found out it was real, it was a lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the Bible says very clearly the Holy Spirit, you know, he gives us that witness, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? Was there another hand over here? Jeff? Right. Right. Yeah, we're going to talk about some of that too. Billy? Right.
Plus it also says life is in the blood.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
So I mean that just shows how far it was ahead of
medical technology. Yeah. That's how our first president died, was through bloodletting. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, and we're going to look into more detail about some of these things, but I think we would come to the conclusion tonight with everybody that would be here tonight that we would say that we believe without a shadow of a doubt that the Bible is the Word of God. Am I right? Am I right? Everybody? Okay. So if that is true, and I really just kind of set you up. If that is true, we truly believe that the Bible is the Word of God, then how does it affect our life? Because if we truly say that we believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is the Word of God, and there's evidence, there's proof that shows us, man, this book, it's reliable, it's God's Word, it's God's authority, we know it, then why don't we follow it? Why don't we do what it says? So often we make these claims, yes, you know, we believe it is the Word of God and we think it's the God's Word, but yet, and again, and I'm wanting us to get a perspective not from a Christian standpoint, but from a world standpoint. You say you believe it. You say you are absolutely positive that it is the Word of God. You know what's really interesting is how much of the Bible the world understands. Really. They really understand a lot more than we give them credit for. And when they say, okay, Christians say that they really believe the Bible and that they say that it's the Word of God and that they trust it and everything, well, then why don't they live it? Why don't they do what it says? And so our emphasis on the reliability of the Word of God is very important to us and knowing that this is the Word of God. But if it doesn't change our life and if it doesn't say, hey, yes, the Word of God is not only reliable, but I need to be following it. If we're just saying that it's reliable just to be able to say, well, hey, yeah, we believe it's the Word of God, but it's not doing anything for our life, and it's not doing anything in our personal life, then really what good is it? And so when we think about it, again, these are really important questions, right? And if we're going to allow the Bible to inform our worldview, then we must learn that it's not just reliable, but we have to learn about the reliability of it, but we also have to allow the Word of God to lead and guide in our life. It's one thing to say, I believe it, but do we allow it to truly lead and guide us? Or is it just something that we're saying because that's kind of the Christian thing to say, right? Do you know that Satan has always tried to attack the Word of God? He's always tried to attack it. It's really remarkable to me when you go back and you study the history of the church, how these religions, the Catholic Church, the Church of England, these Orthodox mainline religions, how they were so opposed to people having the Word of God, keeping it from them. Just basically saying, you know, because you're not clergy, because you're not a pastor or a priest or something like that, then you can't understand it. We're the only ones that can understand it, so you might as well not even have a copy, because if you had a copy, you couldn't understand it anyway. So just come and listen to what we have to say, and we'll explain it to you. That's called brainwashing, right? That's why Paul tells the church there in Acts, and he says the Christians of Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? Because they searched the scriptures whether those things were so. Paul said, I preach, but then they went back and they opened up the scripture and they said, all right, let's see if what he says really is true, right? But yet the devil wants nothing more than to keep people from the Word of God, and he's attacked it from the very beginning, right? If you go back to Genesis chapter 3, the very first attack that Satan brought against humanity was not against humanity, it was against the Word of God. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1, says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, go eat of the tree. No. He said to the woman, your husband hates you. No. Watch what he does. He doesn't attack the woman or the man. Who does he attack? God. He attacks the Word of God. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Did God really say that? Did God really say that you couldn't eat of every tree? Did he really mean that? What's he doing? He's attacking the very Word of God. And again, think about it. At this point, there wasn't the Bible, right? There was basically one command given by God. Don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that one command, guess what happened? Satan attacks it. That's all there was one command. Don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat it, the day you eat of it, you'll die. And that's exactly what Satan attacks. He attacks the validity of the Word of God. Did God really say that? Did God really mean that? There's probably a reason why God said that. God said that probably because he's trying to keep something from you. Isn't it interesting? He did not attack the woman or the man. He attacks the Word of God. And that's what we find all throughout history. Satan trying to attack the Word of God to get people to doubt God's Word. Well, you can't really know that that's God's Word. Actually, yeah, we can know it's God's Word. We can. But Satan wants to encourage the world, just as he encouraged Eve, to doubt the Word of God. And so even today, you can't really know that it's the Word of God. You people that say you believe the Bible, you know, it's just a book of fairy tales. You know, it's not really real. And so he begins to attack the Word of God. And history has revealed continuing attempts to question the Word of God. And many of these attempts have weakened the faith of many Christians, weakened the faith of society, because they were not able to give an answer. They were not able to give an answer. Oh, yeah, I believe it. I believe it's the Word of God. All right, prove it.
At my church, they say it's the Word of God. That's not going to prove it, right?
I mean, if you think even as early as the 20th century, you have this theological liberalism that was sweeping across Europe, sweeping across America. I mean, just drastically changing the landscape of Christianity. You have German higher criticism. You have all these different things that are coming into play. Seminaries, what we would say Bible colleges, churches, pastors, men that we would say were theologians, even began to question whether we had the Word of God or not. Can you imagine a pastor not knowing whether he's preaching from the Word of God or not? So if a pastor doesn't know if he's preaching from the Word of God or not, what is he preaching? Is he preaching his own opinions? I mean, what is he preaching if he doesn't know if it's the Word of God or not? Bible colleges, seminaries, doubting the Word of God. The questioning of Scripture. Is it really the Word of God? Did God really say those things? It continues. The pervasive influence of secularism. We talked about that in the last lesson. Bible-preaching churches are being led astray. They've accepted false views about God, the Bible. You can interpret it however you want. We don't really have to interpret it the way God says. You can just interpret it how you want. No, you can't. You have people on the internet, things like this, saying that the Bible is not the Word of God, that salvation isn't just through Jesus Christ. And these are people that are claiming to be Christians, right? It's so ridiculous. Of course, last week was Easter, and I heard of a pastor that basically came out and said that when Jesus calls Lazarus out of the grave and said, "Lazarus, come forth," that what he's saying is that we all just need to accept who we are, and if God has made us to be, think that we're a different gender or non-binary or whatever, we just need to accept that and come out. How stupid can you be to think that when Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth," that means that God just says, "Accept you how you want to be"? And that's what people are listening to today. That's what people are listening to. Well, you can just interpret it however you want. No, you can't interpret it however you want. You can't just take it however you want. God said it a certain way, and what God says, that's where it needs to stay. And yet Satan is using secularism and all these things one author said this: "Secularism has desensitized many people sitting in the pews of faithful gospel-preaching churches, leading them to unwittingly hold even heretical doctrines because they don't have confidence that this is the Word of God. They're willing to allow themselves to doubt, is it, is it not?" Look, as a Christian, we have to come to a conclusion that this is the Word of God, and there's nothing that can shake us from that. We cannot doubt that, okay? Now, let me ask you this. What are some ways that Satan tempts people to question the biblical teaching? What does Satan use to get people to question the Word of God? Don? Yeah, I mean, all the different translations that are out there. It's like you've got a new translation coming out like every other month, it seems like, right? What else? What are other ways that the devil can use to get people to really doubt that this is the Word of God or not? Jeff?
The scientific
community constantly saying billions of years. Yeah. Well, you can't go against science. You can't go against science. I mean, the science says that the world is billions and billions of years. You can't go against science. So if science goes against the Bible, we got to go with science.
Unless it deals with
gender. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Unless it deals with gender, then you just...
So
have no idea.
You only go with science when it's politically applicable.
That's exactly right. That's absolutely true. Right? Maria? Yeah. You know, it just go with what you feel right. Right? I mean, that's what the Bible says, that in the days of, after the days of Joshua, there was no king and everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. Well, you know, just whatever feels good. You do you. Yeah, that's kind of the new saying, you do you, right? What else? Any other ways? How else is Satan using and questioning the validity of the Word of God to try to get people to doubt it, that it really is God's Word? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they'll try to use science stuff, you know, Rachel? Yeah. Music? Mm-hmm. I think there's another way that nobody's mentioned it yet. But I think it's a huge, huge thing. Yes, ma'am? Yeah, those are very good. Sowing seed. I mean, if the church can't, the children of God, right? If the church can't even get along, then how can they really believe that they're following God, right? Was there another hand somewhere else? Maria?
Internet.
The internet, yeah. Man, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on the internet. Brother Scott? Don't get me started on that. Well, that's true, yes. Yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you that if you're a teacher and you work in public education, man, God bless you. I know that cannot be hard, and I know we have some teachers in here, and man, you ought to pray for them, because it's not getting easier, any easier at all. And you could probably testify more than anybody else. But man, you pray for them, because they're doing the best they can. Media, yeah. John?
A lack of a final authority.
Yeah.
A lack of defining those two words up there, the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the changing of the words.
Yeah.
I mean, that's happened since we've sat here. What you read and what was on the screen was two different things.
What do you mean?
You read that the man, I mean, we know that us preachers all know that, the man of God should be truly furnished. And what popped up on the screen says the man of God should be thoroughly furnished.
I believe it is thoroughly furnished, isn't it?
It's thoroughly. You got King James Bible, it should be thoroughly.
Thoroughly furnished. Sorry, is there an extra O in there? Was there? Sorry about that. Should be truly. Yes. Yeah, we'll talk to the media guys back there. Yeah. Yep. I think there's one other thing that I truly believe that is really causing a lot of questioning of the Word of God. Well, that's true. I mean, obviously, Christians can be so busy that you're not spending time in the Word of God. But I'm talking about from the world standpoint. I believe it's religion. Religion. I mean, think about it. How many religions are in the world today? There are thousands, literally thousands of religions in the world today. And the world looks at that and says, well, look, you all say that, you know, you all have the right way, right? Because every religion says, well, our way is the right way. So how can you all say that you've got thousands of religions and you all be the right way? And Satan uses that. And again, there's always been different religions. I mean, even in the days of Christ, you had the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Herodians. You had the Athenians. You had all of these different religions. And so Satan uses that to get people to doubt the validity of the Word of God. Well, if the God's Word is really true, then why are there so many different religions? And so that's why it's so important that we get back and say, look, what does the Bible say? and make sure that we do have a true grasp and understanding of the Word of God. Again, there's many deny historical evidence of Scripture. They deny the historical evidence, and even really without credible reasons, right? I like what a man by the name of E.F. Bruce said. He said, "The evidence for our New Testament writings is ever so much greater than the evidence for many writings of the classical authors, the authenticity of which no one dreams of questioning." No one questions the authenticity of these classical books and things like that, but yet somehow we doubt the authenticity of the Word of God. People, again, just denying it. I like what this... this one man said. He was a Christian lady, sat next to a skeptic on an airplane, and she was reading her Bible. And the man kind of looked over and saw that she was reading her Bible, and she said, "You don't really believe all the stuff that's in there, do you?" And the lady said, "Well, yes, I do." He said, "Well, what about that guy that was swallowed by a whale? How do you think he survived all that time in the belly of that whale?" And the woman said, "You know, I really don't know, but you know, when I get to heaven, then I'll ask Jonah, and he can tell me what happened." He said, "Well, what if he isn't in heaven?" And the woman said, "Then you can ask him." Is there a difference? And again, when we think about, there's a lot of questioning, and of course, if you have teenagers, you know teenagers like to ask lots of questions. Is there a difference between healthy questions that someone might ask to better their faith versus unhealthy questions that lead a person to deny truth? I think there's no doubt that that's true. There are healthy questions that people can ask because they really want to grow in their faith. And I think it's important that, especially as Christians, and here's the thing, so many times we'll have teenagers or young Christians or someone come and they'll ask us questions, not trying to deny the Word of God, but really just wanting answers because of maybe something that they've heard, maybe from school or maybe from a friend or whatever, wherever it might be, and they're really wanting an answer to it, and so they come and they ask us, and here's the problem. We don't know how to answer them. And so then what do we say? Well, you know, the Bible is the Bible, so just believe it. Well, how does that help them to learn what the answer is? And I think so often when we are not able to give a valid answer, and we just say, "Well, you just have to believe it because God said it." Look, I understand there are some things that we have to take by faith, right? I get that, right? Look, I understand the Bible speaks about the Godhead being a triune being, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But you know what? There's nobody that's ever going to fully comprehend and understand and be able to explain that. That's something we're going to have to take by faith. I believe it. I believe that's what God says, but I don't understand 100% how it all works. But I believe that is true. But there are many things that we can have, we can explain, and we can say, this is exactly, here's the proof, here's the evidence of it, right? But so often we don't know because we haven't really taken the time to search and find out what the answers are. And I remember when I was a kid, sure, I probably asked my dad questions just to, you know, see if he had an answer for it or whatever. And some of the questions, you know, were probably dumb. I know my kids will come up and they'll ask me a question. And I know the whole reason they're trying to ask me a question is to try to trip me up, right? And they're not doing it in a mean way. They're just doing it in a fun way, right? But if we cannot truly give biblical answers, if we cannot prove that this really is the Word of God, God's Word is true, then how are our young people going to have faith in it? How are they going to stand on it and say, yes, I believe that it is the Word of God, if those of us who are adults cannot? And that's why it's important not just for young people to know, hey, we can trust this as the Word of God, and we can again, in essence, there are ways that we can prove that the Bible is accurate, and so that builds our faith in it to know that, hey, this is true, this is what God said, and it just happened exactly as it said. And we're going to look at some of those in the weeks to come. But we have to have a confidence and an unshakableness in God's Word. To know that, you know what? Yes, there are going to be some things that I may not understand about it, but I know this is God's Word. Not just because we can say, well, the church says so or the pastor says so, but the Bible proves that it is God's Word. He says that it's God's Word. Yes, we can say, well, the Bible says that it's God's Word. Well, any book can say that it's God's Word. But prove it. Prove it, right? And that's what we want to do through this lesson we're going to be going through, is really understanding the reliability, the proof that we find. There is scientific proof. There is historical proof. There is all kinds of proof that the Bible, what we would call the Word of God, truly is accurate, it's reliable, it's trustworthy, because it is God's Word. And I hope that by the time we're done with this lesson, that there'll be things that maybe you learned, you didn't know of, that you'll be able to say, man, it causes my faith to be greater in it. Because again, we're living in a day that they are questioning everything about the Bible, about church, home, family, whether you're a boy or a girl or not. They're questioning everything. And we have to be able to go back to the Word of God and say, look, this is what God says. This is the only book that has our authority in it. This is the only book that has truly what is right, because this is God's Word. And we know it's God's Word because these things prove that it is God's Word. Just as anything else can be proven, we can prove that the Bible is the Word of God. And so I really hope that this will be an encouraging lesson for you as we go through these things. Some things that I think are really, really awesome, both scientifically, historically, just really, really some amazing things that, again, most people just, we don't know about them. Most people have never taken the time to really study to find out, how do we know whether the Bible really is the Word of God, if it's reliable, if it's trustworthy. And so we're going to go through some of these things. Corey? Right.
And that's from somebody who's not saved.
Right.
God.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what's so sad, is so many Christians, we say we believe in it. We say we believe this is the Word of God, but yet we don't take the time to get in it. We don't take the time to really find out what God has for us. Billy?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That's absolutely right. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's just an absolute, when it's confusion. And yeah. Maria?
Can you answer the question that you asked us? How do you prove that it is the Word of God, that it is the Bible that Jeff Nicole wrote?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Come back next week. That's called a cliffhanger. That's what the whole lesson is really going to be on, going through these different things, helping you see that. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Very good. All right. Any other question, comment, anything? All right. Well, don't forget next Sunday, it'll be 5 o'clock, not 6, 5 o'clock, all right? And then, of course, be back Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, as we continue our series in Hosea. All right? Let's go ahead and pray.